Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. Thank you so much for joining me today. A lot of big kind of gotcha moments today over the last couple of days, actually. A lot of important things to talk about, where we're continuing to break down the lies of this larger agenda, but as it continues to develop, as it continues to dissolve in front of us, they continue to put themselves in positions where they make statements, they make claims that are not just wrong, but verifiably in that moment false. And this is incredibly ridiculous at a time when someone like Jen Psaki, or Fauci for that matter, are actually, you know, there's this big debate whether they were actually calling for censorship. I mean, let's be real about what obviously was happening at that briefing and what they've always been talking about from Event 201 forward and well before Event 201. Of course, they want to censor people that are spreading what they claim are misinformation is misinformation, despite pointing to peer-reviewed science. So when they're openly pointing to the disinformation dozen and why Facebook should do more things because they're killing people, they can't be like, well, we didn't mean to censor. It's ridiculous. So now as they're pointing to that and saying and driving the bus about censorship, as they always have been, they can stand up and say something that is verifiably false, such as the fact that these vaccines are approved, which Jen Psaki just said. And yet they're not censored. They're not being called misinformation. And you see the point. I'm not calling for anybody to be censored. But the reality is there's a obvious double standard taking place. And the even more obvious point is that it has nothing to do with actual facts, trusting the science. It has to do with narrative. And every single show we do, and every time we get censored and kicked off another platform, it becomes more obvious as we show you all the research we're doing and every single link and every single topic we're talking about and let you verify it for yourself. And not just that, but the topics and information we are talking about is almost always, with very few caveats, based on peer-reviewed research, the very people they tell us to look at, and on and on and on, as you guys have seen. Now, today we have this point about Jen Psaki and how they're continuing to use the idea of misinformation to censor. And we're going to talk about Rand Paul and Fauci going back and forth and about what that shows us. Not that what Rand Paul is putting forward is necessarily the ultimate truth, but that very clearly, no matter what you think about either side, that Fauci's lying. That's very important to understand. And by the way, the paper that Rand Paul's pointing to and the information he goes over, we've already talked about that on this show months and months and months ago. Not surprised there. And we're censored for it, right? I mean, and this, it's interesting how this goes. But we're going to get into a couple more things about vaccines, about the dangers they're in, and what the thing, and what continues to happen, as well as what they did in a previous vaccine situation and how it was done immediately after a very short period of time, about short amount of deaths, and how that contrasts to where we are today. But I want to start off with some quick points about censorship. Now, I want to just point this out for people that are aware. Watch the previous show if you're interested about what's going on with the PayPal criminal activity here. And now they're continuing to remove people from their platform based on actions that they're taking in their lives, independent of PayPal, or simply political opinions, right? This is authoritarianism. We are being persecuted for our political opinions, even when they're correct. But interestingly enough, there are those of you out there, and rightly so, contacting them and saying, I want my money back. Now, what's important though, what I'm showing you here, just not to go over the whole thing, is that some of you apparently are reaching out and saying, I want this back. And then when they give you a reason, apparently this buyer stated incorrect date, time, amount, whatever. There's, you know, just adding whatever reason you possibly could. And I get it. Screw PayPal. The problem is when you're doing that, they're treating this as a buyer and as me as the seller, despite there being no merchant or material being sold. This is a direct donation, which clearly they know. But they're saying that now because your people are claiming this is wrong, they're going to charge me. And it only continues to grow the problem. So if you're going to reach out to them and say it, make sure you give the reason that they censored me and that when you don't believe in it, or they stole the money, nothing to do with some kind of transaction. Just so that's clear, because right now, exactly what I told them you was going to happen is happening. They're already claiming that somehow, despite what was there, that we owe money and that they're going to try to use this to manipulate the situation and claim that we are in some kind of legally, you know, like we're breaking the law. It's unbelievable. And this will add to that. So continue to hold them accountable, continue to reach out, contact who you will, but make sure that you don't end up saying that somehow TLAV put an incorrect date, time, or amount, and that would fall back on us. But realize that PayPal doesn't care about the law, the rules, anything. That's why this is happening. So I wouldn't even waste my time. We're going to continue to go forward. And by the way, for most people to understand, the donations that have been coming in through PayPal all this time, they weren't sitting in PayPal. Every single thing you give us is almost pretty much almost usually almost immediately used towards whatever, towards paying someone to work on something or continuing to get equipment and whatever else. So just so you know, they didn't get what you, I mean, the end of the day, as I said, the moral of the story, nothing they're doing is going to stop, even remotely slow down what we're doing. So don't forget that. Now on censorship again, I talked about this with Allison Morrow this morning. Great discussion. I recommend you check it out. That I'm having very revealing censorship issues that I feel is censorship. As I said, is this internet censorship? As you can see, this is the image I got on my phone. Seems to say 5GE, full bars. And it said, but without my VPN, that's what I get. No connection, zero, despite saying it's perfectly fine. Except when I turn my VPN on, which masks my identity, what do you know? It works perfectly. Back and forth and back and forth. I try it and back and forth and back and forth. When I don't have my VPN on, the internet doesn't work on my phone for days now, seemingly right at the same time as the PayPal thing. Could be coincidence. I'm not saying I know, but it seems interesting. And all I want to point out is whether or not this is what I think it is, this is what they're building towards. An ability to just turn you off. We're already seeing the canceling and all this stuff. It's the same thing in a technological sense to say, well, you no longer are supporting the right person. You're not saying the right things. You don't support the government. We're going to turn you off because you're dangerous. Whether or not that's this, that is what they're doing and building towards and creating. And I believe that's what's happening. I'm hearing a lot of the same things. I wish I would have known the full details about this yesterday, and I would have included it, or the day before yesterday, just so to add on to that story. And then we'll jump right into the big topics. Derek Brose was kicked off of I think he was suspended possibly forever on Twitter, but I think his account is still up, but he was kicked off of Discord and PayPal the same day as us. This is crazy stuff that's happening. Brian, I mentioned, which is High Impact Flicks, same day, within minutes of us. It's all coming down right now. As much as I think people want to keep focusing on it and legal action, which I'm not going to say is wrong, have at it. I think the most important thing is that we do not stop the work. And every moment we take away from doing any of those other things, as important as they are, is one less moment that we are doing the work. So if anybody out there wants to spearhead this and everything, that my head is down and committed to continuing this work. I was even mad that I didn't get to a show yesterday. I wanted to just nail this stuff down so it's very clear. But on that note, let's keep continuing, because this isn't going to stop and they're desperate to try to stop it. And that's why I'm going to continue at all costs. Oh, and finally, just if anybody knows any insight on this, I just saw this today. Somebody sent this to me. We the People Processing. Apparently, it's a kind of a PayPal sort of alternative made by Patriots for Patriots is their kind of tagline. I'm very new to it. Just wanted to throw it out there. Let me know if you have any thoughts, because you guys are the last American vagabond. You're the community, right? We have to make sure we're making the right choices going forward, using the right things, voting with our dollar. All right, so reach out to me, send me an email, let me know what you think about this platform and whether you think this should be our next choice on top of everything else. Now, let's get right into the hypocritical discussions, you know, the lying people in Congress, in politics, in news, in media, who are continually telling you that you're dangerous and your information can't be shared, despite the fact that we haven't proven it one way or the other, right? As Jen says, well, there's no evidence of reproductivity and fertility issues, except that's actually not true. But even if it was, how can it be misinformation if you don't know? Right. That's very simple to think about. But this is what they're doing. You can't say that these people died from the vaccine because we don't know for sure. Okay. Well, another way to say that is we don't know for sure that the vaccine could have killed them. It also could have not. So it can't be misinformation to say that it is if it's not misinformation to say that it's not. Right? It works one way or the other. You don't get it. This is how they're playing it. They're playing it as one. They're playing it a double standard. speaking out of both sides of their mouth. And it's very obvious. And we're going to get into a bunch of points like that today, whether we're talking about cycle threshold, whether we're talking about PCR tests in that same regard, or a lot of different ways that they're playing it different on both sides of this argument. The breakthrough cases is one we're going to get into early in the show. But as you can see here, hypocritical Pasky, which, by the way, people say Saki, whatever. I've been saying Pasky. That's what it looks like. We're going to keep going with it until somebody tells me otherwise. Leads chilling effort to flag misinformation. That's The Hill, by the way. This isn't Fox News. Okay, so it's pretty obvious that everybody's very aware about what this was really about. And it's flagging misinformation. So whether Pasky's the one censoring people, which is the clumsy way they try to act, I'm not the one doing it. Like, we're children, right? This is the government we're talking about. Not just some conscientious objector, right? This is the government. Clearly, they're involved with this, as they've been telling us. But the point is, I mean, literally think about, they just talked about censoring your text messages to your family, which is in development, it's happening. And yet they're going, we're not censoring. It's just silly. But to flag misinformation, which is obviously leading to that censorship, and this is a huge push that they're driving towards. Now, just to remember, this is where we're coming from. Now, here is what she just said. This is from July 16th. This is the press briefing by Jen Pasky. Okay. Now, there's a lot of other things we could have talked about in this briefing that it's the same point. But in the interest of time, we're going to keep it with just this one very important point that I've already seen other people share. I believe, if I remember correctly, somebody sent this for me from, I think that's right, it was a blocked tweet. So it's probably Alex Berenson. I forget actually. But a lot of people have been pointing this out, and this is very important to realize. I've been saying this about this in general, about a lot of other people, from the Washington Post to different articles saying complete false information from the very beginning, that this is not approved. We all know that. It's very apparent. This is an emergency authorized injection that is not deemed safe because it is not approved, despite the fact they keep saying safe and effective. The FDA's own information says it very clearly. Unapproved drugs are not verified to be safe. That is the literal meaning of it. That's why, because we don't know for sure, but we've deemed that the emergency is, we're willing to take that risk because the emergency is deemed to be so much more dangerous. It's very simple to understand, and all their documentation says that. The only difference then is what they're yapping at you on mainstream media and what the government agents tell you, despite what they continue to say on all the information they have. This is why they quietly, retroactively update these definitions. Maybe they'll do it to unapproved drugs as we go forward. Keep an eye on it. Maybe put it on the way back machine. But here's what she has to say. This is what she's talking about misinformation, right? That's what this is all about. This is what the information, some of this misinformation is doing, and misleads the public by falsely alleging that mRNA vaccines are untested and thus risky, which, by the way, is exactly what they, you could take issue with untested, because clearly they've been tested, but they're not tested enough. But that's not even the point. She says, even though many of them are approved and have gone through the gold standard of the FDA approval process. Fake news. Literally fake news. And that is not just fake news. That's what you would call dangerous medical misinformation, right? Because this is lying to people. Not just lying to people. It's flat out deceiving them because she knows this. Or you know what? Maybe she doesn't. And it just makes my point that even people like her are completely blinded by the gospel of the narrative. You just trust what you're told because authority told you so. Except here is literally the FDA website or FDA document that I keep showing you. This is the one specifically for recipients and caregivers about the emergency use authorization of specifically the Pfizer vaccine. But every single one of these, Moderna and all the rest, say it very clearly. There is no U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. None. There is not one. The FDA has not approved anything. And just in case you were curious, this was updated as of June 25th. They'll probably do another one very shortly. It'll probably update in a couple of days, and it will still say that because it's not. The FDA has not approved. You can look up there's going to be a lot of confusing information in most of the mainstream outlets about some kind of authorized approval or approved emergency authorization. It's nonsense. And if you actually dig into the FDA website or the CDC, it's very, very clear. There is no crossover. It's either approved or it's emergency authorized. That is it. And you know this because you watch this show. Yet, here she is. Approved and gone through the gold standard of the FDA approval process. Then she continues, but certainly pushing information out there that these tested approved vaccines, again, so not a slip of the tongue, are ineffective and unhelpful. A lot of people on these platforms, they're not discriminating as you all know, between the sources of information. You mean like somebody like you that's literally misleading them? I mean, think about how absurd that is. And it says, and that is damaging as well. So we've seen that trend. Do we not realize how comically ridiculous it is that you're watching somebody talk about us misinforming people as she's literally misinforming people about something very, very clear and very, very important? It's because there's an agenda taking place. She has either been told to lie about this or she doesn't know, and somehow she's being fed that misinformation from somebody that does know. We have to recognize how incredible this is. This is continuing. Yet people like me are cut off and money's taken. Right? Or we're kicked off Patreon and money's taken. And by the way, they keep charging for people that, or for like subscriptions and different things that I can't manipulate. Like they're just taking money. It doesn't matter though, because it's unaccountable and they are acting with impunity because they are on the side of the narrative. This is alarming stuff. Now, if you want to keep going through this document, please do. I've shown this so many times and there is like 100, well, let's be specific. I mean, let's just say if I had to put a number on it to be accurate, maybe like 20 things in this document that conflict with what they're currently doing, except the fact that these are mandated, right? These are mandatory, as the FDA document says. These are mandatory things that must be abided by, such as having all equipment on hand for any type of side effect that we know is there, such as even the ones they reported, like anaphylactic shock or myocarditis. These are things that have happened very quickly. Not necessarily the fact that you could have inflammation that could cause you to collapse or seizures. We've seen all this. And yet they don't have all the medical equipment for this on every single door-to-door vaccination or drive-through, but nobody cares. This is alarming, and this is just one part of it. There's so many lies throughout this thing. Now, I want to show you a couple things that she says in this. One, just this point is a little bit disjointed just because I wanted to throw it in here somewhere. But remember when they were told the Build Back Better concept was a fake news story, right? That was just his tagline and it really didn't have anything to do with the Great Reset. Well, listen to what she says. Oh, actually, here, I'm just going to bring up the full video. So I don't, let's see. Or maybe not. I'll see how loud this is. Hold on.
Place in the cabinet room, and the president will discuss several important topics with cabinet members, including COVID-19, the bipartisan infrastructure framework, and the Build Back Better agenda, climate, and a national security.
And the Build Back Better agenda, climate. Like, I mean, even just weird the way that she jumps right over that. Like, the build, almost like she didn't mean to say it. I don't know. But Build Back Better agenda. The fact that she's saying the Build Back Better agenda, is that not interesting to anybody? I thought that was fake news. I thought that was just a tagline about building back our country better after COVID-19, right? Well, that's what they're going to keep telling you, but it's really insulting to pretend like, you know, the rest of the, like every other country involved, the entire thing is also talking about build back better. And that's just a coincidence. That is easily one of the dumbest things they've argued this entire time. That's just coincidence. You can show a video of like the majority of country leaders saying we need to build back better, talking about the Great Reset. And yet we're supposed to pretend like this is just some coincidence. Well, it's on their agenda. They're talking about it. It's just like vaccine passports were fake news until they're jamming them down your throat. We have to see how ridiculously clear this is. Now, to some other points, and I just grabbed this while we were doing that. Let me grab the right point, 20. There's some questions in here. Oh, just in case maybe you didn't hear it.
President has acted to get Americans with cabinet members, including COVID-19, the bipartisan infrastructure framework, and the Build Back Better agenda, climate, and a national security.
Right. Fake news, though. So coming over here, there's a question that's asked. It seems very revealing in the way that they discuss it and the way that they talk about it. And this leads into the story, the coverage that we're seeing about how they're deceiving you about what's really going on in this topic. Oh, weird. Exactly like we've been reporting for months. And being censored for. And now it's starting to come out, you know. And of course, because it comes out on the wrong, you know, this is how it's being perceived. And this is why they keep framing this. You shouldn't be trusting the Fox News, CNN, any of it. None of them are on your side. I don't know why this is difficult for people to understand after all the manipulations we've seen thus far, going back way before COVID-19. But bottom line is they use the back and forth. They use the two-party illusion to keep you thinking, to keep you... As what's the thing we said about QAnon on it? They get you asking the wrong questions. They don't care what your answers you find. That's important to think about. So when we're looking at this and we're talking about, they want you to look at it as if like the Fox News side of it is the conspiracy theorist side, so we can just dismiss it, right? That's an entire half of this country. That's an entire half of the two-party illusion, I should say, right? In within their narrative, understand. I'm not arguing that we're half Republicans, half Democrats. This is within the way they frame it. But you're literally arguing that in their narrative that half the people, and this is what they're actually doing right now, right? All the Trump supporters, all the Republicans, they're all a bunch of crazy fake news, anti-vaccine people killing everybody. This is 51% of the country. I can't believe we don't realize outside of the show how alarming that is. This is why people talk about the Civil War concept, because you're literally pretending like half the country are not part of the country. And they're just like a hindrance on everybody. It's alarming. But see, that is part of the illusion, because the reality is it's nonpartisan, as I keep telling you. People on all sides of this, left, right, middle, are pretty concerned about this. That's why it's 51% that it's still not injected, because most people, and that is most, are concerned. And I've met a lot of Republicans and a lot of Democrats and a lot of people that are aware of the two-party illusion that see what this is. And they're desperate to make you think it's only one side or the other.
Monitoring and medical advancements, just to name a few. So NASA's excited to see these achievements. Our charter requires that the agencies seek and encourage to the maximum extent possible the fullest commercial use of space. So we certainly support these endeavors. Wally Funk is now on my list of people that I would most like to meet in the country. She's America's new sweetheart. Go ahead.
Ugh, I didn't mean to play that. She just grosses me out. Oh, it's so fake and it's so disingenuous. And it's all about narrative and trying to sell you on a political talking point and everything they do. Right? That's what their job is. I've never seen someone in this position that is being honest. And it's not, you know, if they're someone who has a soul that's not struggling with it. I've watched these people and you can watch the way that they wear down throughout this process. People, and then, well, that's usually why a lot of them step down, because your job is to be dishonest and to hide things. We all know that. Of course, you pretend you don't see it when it's on your side of the two-party illusion. Anyway, just a personal note, it just grosses me out. This is not what they're there for, and they're doing this to humanize themselves. It's a point that somebody just made about, I forget who made that, actually, but talking about people's bios, like the politician saying, you know, amateur guitar player, full-time dad, you know, just, it's like, it's in it, they're trying to make these sociopathic psychopaths out there, or that doesn't really make sense, but normalized, so we're just like, oh, they're just normal guitar player just like me. They're not, though. That's important.
A couple quick follow-ups on infrastructure and then one on COVID.
Sure.
You said that the outstanding issues are paid for related right now. There were some spend side issues that they were trying to figure out as well. Are you saying that those are now wrapped up? That's just paid for? Is that
I was saying we'll leave it to the negotiators working hard into the night last night and continuing their work today. But I would say that one of the issues.
Hold on a second. I don't know how we either just got the wrong clip. Hold on a second. That's confusing. Here, come back here so you can see me doing this one.
States is the first country to have private companies taking private passengers to space. This is a moment of American exceptionalism.
Numerator and denominator.
Okay, that's strange. I swear something... I had that queued up. It was exactly 20. We haven't talked about it before. And now suddenly it's at 23. I don't know. It could be wrong as usual, but that's weird. I feel like we need to be aware of the same kind of point from before, whether there's something happening or not, that we've already seen like real time manipulation, like things being added, removed. You know, it's interesting to me. That could just be a memory issue. But the reason I think that's interesting is somebody sent this to me and said right after 20. And I looked at it right after 20 and watched this exact part. And now going back, it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Let's watch it.
Or the primary issue, I think it's probably safe to say, is around tax and of reaching. We don't see vaccines as a political issue. It's an issue about keeping Americans safe.
Sure. Go ahead.
Thank you. As the White House COVID team has done contact tracing, have you had any cases of staff-to-staff transmission? Have you had COVID spread in the White House through these breakthrough infections?
The answer is yes, and we'll show you that just so you know. Yes, very clearly. And yes, they hide that from you.
I would have to check with our team and see if that's been an issue. I don't have.
Yeah, I highly doubt that she's not aware. We have to get that in front of me. That's a classic sidestep for these people. I don't have the data in front of me. Like, yeah, the thing that we're all talking about all the time, nonstop, and you're going to protect you. We don't know for sure. Right. That's ridiculous.
Of that data in front of me.
And how many commissioned officers are there? Like, what is the universe? What is the numerator and denominator?
She talks about commissioned officers in regard to the concept of about how they're only supposed to, like, she makes this weird sidestep, and I'll read it in a second, about how they will continue to update you on commissioned officers and whether they're sick. But of course, that omits a lot of other people that are involved in that discussion, people that are passing them in the White House, people that are involved in it. But of course, that's an easy way to pretend like it looks lower than it actually is. That's a deception. Now, are we going to pretend like if it was about COVID-19, that they would be like, we're only going to report when commissioned officers get COVID-19. We're going to ignore when all the other people around them do, because that's not important. You see how dumb that sounds? Like the argument that, because we're talking about the same thing, and I'm not arguing I believe what they're saying. But if what they're saying is breakthrough, which means COVID-19, which means they have it, they can spread it, and so on. And you're saying that we're only going to tell you when specific types of people get it. That's just dumb. If it's the same thing and we're all going to die and it's the best, worst pandemic in the century, suddenly it only matters on one side of the discussion. Just like with the cycle threshold, just like with everything else. They're gaming this to make it look a very specific way, or at the very least trying to hide the fact that this is clearly blowing up on the other side of it, where unvaccinated people seem to be not the problem, despite what they keep screaming at you without producing data. Meanwhile, Israel's showing you, which I'll show you again in a minute, that it's predominantly vaccinated that are being, or that are issuing, having an issue with the Delta variant and whatever else. That's what they're claiming. It's pretty obvious that this is a one-sided thing, and that the people that are vaccinated are having a pretty severe problem from vaccinated to vaccinated to vaccinated. Israel showed you this. 88 people, all vaccinated, got sick from one person who was vaccinated who got it from another person who was vaccinated. Right? That's what we're watching right now in D.C., and that's why they're trying to hide this from everybody.
In breakthrough infections that you're willing to talk about.
We can get you the exact number. I think that's publicly available, but we'll get you the exact
number. Oh, is it? Then how about you tell everybody, Jen? See, the point is she doesn't want this to be publicly available on this mass medium. She wants it to be publicly available in a quiet transaction over to this person. Not really publicly available, is it?
Number two.
Yeah, and just a messaging question.
And by the way, we'll get to this in a second. I'll show you how ridiculously unclear the Breakthrough Case CDC website is. It's not very publicly available at all. It's very convoluted and intentionally so.
I know that you say there's no data to show that talking about breakout infections could affect people's willingness to get vaccinated. But does it create a messaging challenge for this White House to have breakthrough infections when there are people who say, why should I get the vaccine if I'm going to get COVID anyway?
Right. Yeah. What a dumb question, right? Why would I get this thing if it doesn't stop the thing they're telling me I need to get it to stop? What a conspiracy theorist, right? Well, crazy talk. No, that's like the most logical question of the day. If you can still catch it, what are we talking about? Especially when you consider the fact that most people aren't in any risk. I mean, but like I said, below 25, we're still talking point. We're talking below the flu, non-existent. Children under 10 are not zero. And we'll show you that again coming up today. And then you consider all the things we're seeing happen. Sure, you could pretend they're unverified. The numbers are through the roof. And especially considering HHS and Harvard's comments before all this, that it's only under 1%, some of it, a fraction of it, is alarming, let alone the whole number.
Well, I think that's a little bit of projection, to be honest. I mean, what we're seeing across the country is that almost 70% of adults are vaccinated.
Oh, well, we can't let that stand, can we? Here's Jen just lying left and right out of it's just constant. Constant, constant, constant. Now, here is what we're looking at right now. Here's the U.S. COVID-19. Here's, first of all, just one dose. Now, that's what they keep trying to point at. Here's fully vaccinated. Now, adults, she's talking about, I would imagine, 18 plus. Now, it's not too difficult to realize that what you're looking at right here is not 70%, right? 70% would be 70. Look, just take the from here down as a box. Now, if you were going to fill that 70% of the way up, you would imagine, you know, you could imagine what 70% would look like. This is not 70% of this of these adults. It's not. Period. Now, you can do the math yourself. You could take an average. You could do whatever you want. At the end of the day, she's manipulating this information because I argue there's probably nowhere you can get that data minus under 18 and then combine and then the average. Like, this is, they're playing a game, just like when they lied about how 70% of the population. Remember when they first said that? I called it out. Now they're saying of adults. In the beginning, it was, we reached our goal. Yay. They even said 52% of people are fully vaccinated, except that's also not true. Where was that? Still right here, 49.2%. And that, they said that back when it was way under that, right? They're lying to you guys, and it's easy to find. 70% of adults are not fully vaccinated. Maybe you could argue it's somewhere within the ballpark of the 50 plus, but the country is under that by far, and the world is still at 13%. Just so we're clear on the information. So go ahead and continue deceiving people, Jen Psaki. Oops, that's not the right spot. Here we go.
We're seeing especially high numbers among people who are over 65, over 55, et cetera. There are also some numbers.
Yeah, you know why that is? Because they forced it on people in nursing homes. They forced it on people in hospitals. They forced it on people that didn't have a choice. We've already seen that. We've seen this all. I mean, look, we saw it in Germany. We saw it all over the world. People were given this because they were told they had to, because they were told they couldn't, you know, any number of things. You couldn't see your family. If you're about to die, you got to get it anyway. And then they die and they count as a COVID death, right? This is ridiculous. This is straight up sinister as far as I'm concerned. And they're just continuing to push this on people, even though, and as they lie to you about what's really going on, as the majority have said no multiple times. And they're going to come back and ask you again tomorrow. But we're not forcing you though.
So I heard about yesterday that I thought were quite incredible. 86% of teachers across the country are vaccinated.
Yeah, I mean, again, that I haven't seen what I mean. This is exactly the point. That's nice and fun and good to say, Jen. How about you back it up with some data? I would love to see where you got that from. How much you want to bet that's somebody's estimate based on somebody's broad look? You know, at one grouping, every one state, and you know, this is what they do. Right, they'll take an estimate about one school area, and you know, and they just broadly they throw it out there. They don't show information. 99.2% of people who are in the hospital are sick or are unvaccinated. Nobody's proven that, and you know what? It's pretty obviously not true. They continue to jam these things down your throat, and it's usually based on some kind of deceptive tactic. The reality is, I've seen pretty strongly across all of these areas that that's not really what's happening. If you have, and I'm sure this has changed since then, but remember when this came out, 60% of nurses had said no to this. And this was at the peak of this. Think about that. They said no. Why would that? That shows you the reality. They know what's going on. Doctors, military, so we saw all this. It was a huge portion. Marines was 60% as well. Right? So when they try to scream at you that there's this many teachers and tell you this makes sense, we need to back it up with data. Because I don't buy it for a second.
We've also seen in recent polls, which I think was a bit of a wake-up call, I think there was a CBS poll out this weekend, that individuals who were vaccinated in this poll were more concerned about the Delta variant than individuals who were not, by a pretty large margin. So I would say part of our objective here is also to communicate clearly that if you are vaccinated, you are protected.
That's not true. And this is one of the most absurd arguments they keep making on top of the ones we just talked about. She's lying to you. And all the data shows that that's very clear. Even the studies, and this is one of those trust the science points where they keep saying trust the science, but ignore all of the scientific research that comes out and continues to show that this is not the case. Israel and their entire government is screaming this everywhere right now. This isn't working. We're down to 60% efficacy, and this is based on no warning symptoms, right? And this is because they're saying the Delta variant doesn't affect them. The vaccine, the injection they've given doesn't stop it. But the reality is, as they've shown you, that people who've had the natural infection are basically faring better. It's not affecting them. 0.006%, I believe, is what it came out to. I'll show you again in a minute. And then remember that the majority of these populations already have natural immunity based on the data that we've been given and the claims by the NIH and by Nature and by the WHO, who all tell us that the upwards of 99% of people who've dealt with that have lasting immunity for almost for the rest of their lives. So you see the illusion? They're lying to you, but they keep claiming this. They keep claiming it repeatedly. Now, I want to go back to what she was saying about how the poll was that people who are unvaccinated aren't concerned about it, and the ones who are vaccinated are. Isn't that a really telling little window into how their propaganda is affecting people?
You had COVID commissioned us to get vaccinated.
That almost 70% of adults are vaccinated. We're seeing especially high numbers among people who are over 65, over 55, et cetera. There are also some numbers I heard about yesterday that I thought were quite incredible. 86% of teachers across the country are vaccinated. We've also seen in recent polls, which I think was a bit of a wake-up call. I think there was a CBS poll out this.
Oh, you right there. You did good. Good job. Here's your cookie.
This weekend, that individuals who were vaccinated in this poll were more concerned about the Delta variant than individuals who were not.
Exactly. You know why? Because those people have bought the narrative lock, stock, and barrel, and they're completely snowed and terrified. They're the ones still wearing three masks and wearing four pairs of gloves and standing with their glasses at home and terrified to step out their front door. These people are vaccinated and still scared. And she's telling them, you're safe. As we continue to point to breakthrough cases, and we see that the unvaccinated seem to be, by and large, not affected by what's happening based on the real world data. Right? She can keep saying that most of the ones are in danger or are unvaccinated, then show us something. You show me data, then I'll talk about it on the show and I'll compare it to what Israel's saying and we'll look and we'll weigh it and see what has more value. That's what they don't want to happen, you see. They'll keep making a claim and argue we're conspiracy theorists for challenging that claim. The moment they give you the data, we can point out how they're lying to you. You see, this is constant. Now, I'm not saying I know for sure they're lying. I believe they are based on all the information in front of us. But until they prove their information, you don't know either. So this comes down to the point about trusting it. Think about like theirs. It's funny how we're willing to dismiss all the unverified claims on there, but you're willing to take her unverified claims at face value. That's a choice and an ignorant one at that.
A pretty large margin. So I would say part of our objective here is also to communicate clearly that if you are vaccinated, you are protected. If you get a case of COVID, it will be mild. If you are not vaccinated,
except for all those people that died after this, but we don't care about those ones because we're hiding them from everybody.
Vaccinated, you could be. We hope not, but among the people who go to the hospital and get very sick from the virus, the data is very clear. So part of our objective is also not to stoke fear among people who are vaccinated because the data is pretty clear about their protection.
Not though, she's lying. Right. I would love for one time for somebody in the audience to be like, Jen, excuse me, except here's the data. I'm holding it right here. Here's the 11 studies that came out showing that it's not. And you're wrong. Any comment? That's real journalism. But that won't happen because they're not there to do journalism. They're there to be part of the pandering process.
Go ahead.
So does the White House support using revenue raised by rolling back the Trump era?
Oh, good. So we're on to some Trump question. Yeah, we'll just gloss over all those things she said. All these journalists sitting here patiently absorbing the fake news. Good job, guys. You're killing it. God dang it. It's just so insulting to all of us. Now, going forward. Oop, I almost left it on that page. That would have been frustrating. Here's where we are now. Right? After she's screaming at you that you're all, they don't know how this is working. You're all safe. And we keep screaming that. So you should know that. Trust the science that we don't show you that's actually not saying that. Sixth fully vaccinated Texas Democrat lawmaker test positive for COVID-19. This was a grouping full of fully vaccinated people who all continue to get tested. And by the way, as always, realize we're talking about a test that could be false positive. But what we're realizing here, in my opinion, is this is not just about people getting a false positive. I believe the injection is what's doing this. Whether it's the spike protein actually causing this illness, like the Salk Institute clearly found. Remember? This is an important point to bring up again at this moment. Remembering that the Salk Institute made a bunch of very important findings, but and this is not the only one. But they said clearly, proving that the spike protein alone, the very spike protein that the lipid nanoparticles have encapsulated the instructions for to create inside your body, alone, that spike protein alone was enough to cause disease, not just illness, not just problems, but disease, right? That's important. SARS-CoV-2, the virus, causes the COVID-19 disease. This is, you are spreading something. If you are diseased, you can spread something. So if we're literally proving based on the scientific research, the spike protein alone that's being created in your body and then spread multiple times around your bloodstream, which is what we've shown you many times before as well, as that peer-reviewed random controlled science showed you, I think it was 11 out of 13 people had it in their bloodstream within hours. That challenge is literally what they're claiming, everything, and they don't care. So if it's causing disease and it's spreading through your bloodstream, you can get sick. You can spread this. That's the point. Okay, so what we're talking about, I believe, could just be that they're able to catch it as well, because we know that it can still be transmitted and they can still catch it based on their data. But it's also more, possibly, about the injection creating something that it's spreading itself. And this is why it looks like the people who are unvaccinated don't seem to be affected by this. Now, that's just what the surface level data looks like, because they're not really showing you anything. I would love to see more data. They don't want to give it to you. But this is a clear example of how vaccinated are spreading to vaccinated. They don't want you to see this. Texas Democrats may have infected Pelosi and White House aides, right? This is what you're looking at. You're looking at Texas Democrats, whether, and this is not about one or the other. This is just the same old thing flipping back. Remember when it was only Republicans getting it? Now it's the other way around. Now it's only the Democrats because they're the ones getting the vaccine. It's a flip-flop of the same agenda. All it amounts to is not everybody getting... We need Americans to realize your government is using these things to push this on you. Even the Republicans, guys, and I know you don't want to believe that because it's, at the end of the day, we're still seeing the lockdowns, the masks. Look, I mean, I'm seeing things about DeSantis as of today that are showing you exactly what I've been telling you, that he is not on your side. And it's all about a game being played towards elections or whatever else. And at the end of the day, it still leads to your subjugation in a different angle. But we're watching this happen, where we're watching these people infect other people who are vaccinated, from vaccinated to vaccinated. And all they're going to try to argue is that this is all because of the unvaccinated, right? But ask yourself this, in the first year of this, right? So for the 2020, well, let's just even say, just give it the 6 months, the latter half, the biggest part of this, right? The highest peak. Where are all the variants, right? Where were all the variants of concern and contagion and everything blowing up then? We weren't hearing it all about then. But it's weird how right when the vaccine administration began, it was like every other day we heard about a variant, month to month to month. These things are turning like, so weird. What was the catalyst there? Sure, correlation's not causation, but why is it we're leaning into one instead of the other, despite the fact that I've already done a show about this that showed you the research from before COVID-19 made it pretty damn obvious that the vaccines were leading to mutations. There was multiple papers written about the flu vaccine and how the vaccine itself was causing mutations. I guess we just forgot everything before 2020, right? As plenty of other doctors have pointed out, we just ignore everything up until now. This is crazy talk. We're watching this happen and they're trying to blame it on you. Now, if you can watch from the very beginning, there's people that have been injected with this from the very beginning. Now think about that. So let's say the first person that got injected, right? Their argument is that they should be safe, right? She just told you, you're safe. Now, if you got this back in March, May, 2020, and somehow today you're not safe because somebody else somewhere didn't get the injection. That's what they're actually arguing. Half the country didn't get it. So what you got back then is you're not safe. That breaks the entire illusion of how these things work should be dissolving in front of you. If all it takes is some people to not be alone, and like the argument from the beginning is that we're all safe and nobody's safe until we're all safe. That's what their vaccine narrative is. If we don't get everybody injected, then it won't work and we'll have to start all over. Well, that's never going to happen unless they force everybody to do it. Exactly the point. And even then, it won't go away. And this is the part about it that frustrates everybody that understands this from before, is they're doing this just to get people that are getting sick by the things that are being injected into them to point to people that aren't even involved. It's absolutely psycho, but it continues. Now, watching it happen is even more, it's very revealing. Now, here's an interesting part about it. This is, I'm not even familiar with this website. I'll show you the data. Texas Democrats won't release daily coronavirus numbers anymore after 10% of its members test positive. Like, that's crazy. And this is right on NBC, right? So people, oh, that's a Republican. Oh, okay, well, here you go. Here's NBC. So here's what it says. This is what they're telling you. She initially said last week the delegation would provide daily rapid tests for its members before this happened, right? Because we're going to make sure we're testing every single day because we're safe and protected, as Paskey told them. You're all safe. You're all good, right? Well, that's not what's happening. They said, we're going to do daily rapid tests to make sure. But on a Monday statement, she said the delegation will no longer release those daily COVID case counts. Well, what changed? Oh, that's right. They all started getting sick. And I guess they don't want you knowing how sick and what happened. Now, why would they do that? Isn't it at the utmost of importance to make sure you're informed about what's actually going on? Apparently not when it challenges the narrative. It says, quote, we're focusing on our daily testing, following and going beyond CDC guidelines, social distancing, wearing masks, and on. We're just not going to release it anymore. Okay, so in the beginning, you say, we'll continue to do this because it's for your safety. Okay, well, do you no longer care about our safety? So what changed, right? The only thing that changed is they no longer want you to see what's happening. It shows you that they're disgusting hypocrites and they only care about what's driving their political agenda. They're getting sick and they're hiding from you how sick and what's really happening. Now here, Paskey confirms more breakthrough COVID cases that were not disclosed. Right. This is her. So her lying to you, pretending this isn't how, you know, this is all happening in real time. This is from yesterday. Paskey, during Tuesday's White House briefing, confirmed reports that a vaccinated White House official and a vaccinated staffer from Pelosi tested positive for coronavirus after attending that same event. When asked if there had been other breakthrough positive COVID cases among staffers, Paskey said there have been, but did not disclose further details. Paskey did, though, maintain the administration's commitment to disclose positive COVID-19 tests among commissioned officers. That is an obvious deviation. So we don't care about the janitor or the people stopping by or the people, you know, the like everybody else, the majority of people passing through, not just the commissioned officers. They're hiding the reality because people are vaccinated to be able to go in the building. So they know that anybody there is a breakthrough case. So they're hiding how that continues to explode, just like in Israel, which we'll show you next. Now it says, when pressed further about whether there were previously undisclosed positive COVID cases among the White House staff, Paskey said that's correct. Oh, great. I'm going to get those full numbers to you quietly when nobody can see them. Good times. I'm really keeping you informed. Well, here's another deception. And this is how this shows you their dishonest tactics. This is the government, not the Democrats. It says White House says Harris tests negative for COVID-19 after meeting with Texas Dems. Except that's not what they said was happening, though, right? It says, and this is the point that first person makes, is so she is either not vaccinated or vaccinated and still was infected. Which is it? Right? So if she is testing and she could ask Jen Paskey, okay, so if she's vaccinated and you said she's protected, why is she getting tested then? Right? Or if she's vaccinated, or, you know, you see the point. She's either unvaccinated and pretending she is, or she's vaccinated and is still capable of being infected, which is ridiculous. And they keep lying to you. But then the next one points out the obvious. And this is the reality that they lied to you about what was happening with her. They lied to voters and said, oh, no, Kamala is just going in for a normal checkup. No big deal. And then comes out and says, we're good. We tested positive. We're safe. We're all good. So clearly it wasn't just a normal checkup. And it says, instead of lying to voters, media yesterday saying that it was a scheduled routine checkup on a Sunday, no less. Clearly that doesn't make sense. Just be honest and say you're getting tested due to COVID exposure next time, which we all figured out anyway, right? And the reality is that even though she's vaccinated, or at least she's telling us that she still gets tested. And this is the absurd part of this. I was going to say this in a minute, but right now, somebody close to me as a person they're working with, it's telling him what's going on and telling him in regard to his experience with what he just went through at the hospital. Now this is a person who has already gotten this. So he's told, right? Dealt with it, super sick, tested, told they had it, whatever. So according to the narrative, according to the information we have, he has natural immunity, which is far better and longer lasting than the injection, according to their current information. Already giving booster shots in Israel, right? As NIH, the WHO, Nature, all of them continue to tell you that you have lasting immunity after natural infection, right? So he has that. Then he gets vaccinated anyway because he's completely snowed by the life of the narrative. And then he gets really sick, right? After both. Sick the first one, sick after the second one. Really sick and has lasting issues. Now he wants to go see the doctor because he doesn't like what's happening. So he goes in and says, I'm fully vaccinated and I was sick before. And they go, okay, well, you need a PCR test. And he's like, what? Didn't you hear me? I'm fully vaccinated. They go, yeah, we need a PCR test. Okay, well, that makes no sense at all. So Jen's telling you you're perfectly protected, except they won't allow you in without a test that has a high false positive rate. And by the way, is a huge racket that's making lots and lots of money for the UK and plenty of other governments that are wildly leaning into this, which also continues to bloat the numbers because you get a high false positive rate, on and on and on. It's self-perpetuating. But here's the interesting part. Frustrated, he goes and gets a test. Comes back and says, here, my test is negative. They go, okay, we can't see. You have to wait 7 days and then you can see him. Has natural immunity, or at least had it before, fully vaccinated, gets a PCR test that's negative, and then they say you have to wait 7 days. How does that even make sense? The argument would be, and they keep telling you that you wait 7 days and then you need another test because you waited too long. Think about that. So if you have the vaccination, you don't have symptoms, and you have a negative PCR test, isn't that the exact moment when you should go in based on their narrative? Yes, because if you wait, you could catch it tomorrow. That's what they keep saying. It has to be 48 hours after the test, right? We keep hearing that. Yeah, here's a hospital telling you wait 7 days. When you come back in, they're probably going to tell you, okay, now we need to test you again. What's going on? This makes no sense, and it's wildly apparent to anybody with two brain cells to rub together. That is crazy. Either it protects you or it doesn't. Either the natural immunity protects you or it doesn't. Either a PCR test works or it doesn't. This is, you don't combine all three of those and then wait 7 days. This is madness. They're lying to you guys, and it's everywhere. Now, here's an interesting thing I found as I was researching breakthrough cases or whatever, the weird nonsensical name they give you. It's really just the obvious that's happening. But I was looking at these and I said, what's this? This huge, I was thinking, oh good, there's some kind of a site that's keeping track of breakthrough cases, breakthrough COVID cases in bold, and even weirdly says reported data on hospitalizations. Oh man, right? And guess what happens when you click on it? Nothing. Takes you to CapitalOneShopping.com. Now, I'll show you again. I'm worried that I'm just like, I don't want it to be like some kind of a spamware. It probably is. I'll look at it later. I'll click on it again right in front of you. Well, look at that. Capital One Shopping. No, this is not some middle page before you go somewhere else. This is what it is. This is a Capital One page. So they are literally hijacking. There's one of two things this means. Either this is meant to take the place of something else, or this is somebody realizing that breakthrough cases are a huge thing right now and just using it to circumvent your attention to what they want you to see. Here's Capital One Shopping. I just find that to be crazy. We're all aware this is a big deal and they're acting like it's not. Even Capital One's like, let's get on top of that and make money off how real this is. I just find that to be crazy. Anyway, going forward, I just, again, do not forget that you are the majority right now. You are the majority. 50.8%. You are the majority. I just got sent a text saying, I'm at Sutter Roseville. ER is full out the door with COVID patients. A bunch are vaccinated per staff. Most don't get hospitalized, but get it enough to come get seen. Interesting. People are kind of trying to send me stuff all the time about, you know, what they're seeing. And it's just, it's a waterfall. It's crazy because it's very clear in every regard that it's coming against what they're telling you or challenging what they're telling you. 49.2% fully vaccinated. How is it possible that you are the fringe conspiracy theorist when the majority is doing the same thing? Pretty real. But here is Dr. Russo, and I was showing this before. Now, I've went over the actual website where the data came from. That was in a previous show. I'll remember to try to link that in there. Let's just do it right now before I forget, because I tend to do that. It's an important topic. And what he's talking about is that in Israel, where were we? Here we go. And I'll take this moment to show you. I forget which one it was. That's frustrating. Oh, well, let's see. Oh, it was 6.27. That's what it was. Or 7.2. So here, I'll include the show notes for this one, which, by the way, and this is the point I was going to say, all the links are always included. Always. Everything we talk about. Oh, here was the actual link. Goes over the data. Oh, and that was the link to what he's showing as well. Anyway, all that's there for that show. I highly recommend you check, and the show we're doing today will be included after we get done. And they continue to claim that we're spreading misinformation. Subjective opinions coming from bad sources like the NIH and the British Medical Journal and the Lancet and the WHO. Fake news, which, by the way, they're lying to you all the time. Oh, what's funny is they're telling you they're authoritative sources that we need to listen to, and that's what we're showing you, and we're still censored. It's amazing that you can put, nobody other than probably James Corbett gives you this much data to research for yourself. Everything I show you is here. Everything. Anyway, this is a really big point, guys. What he says is, can anyone explain why these numbers that I yell at are virtually the same? Now, this is what it's showing you. This is from Israel, right? Naftali Bennett just had a press conference and literally spoke about all this and said this is clearly a problem and that the injection is not working against the Delta variant and our government just ignores it. It's funny how if everything Israel does, it's they pair it all and they scream and they share everything. And the moment that it goes against their narrative, it's like crickets. We're ignoring this huge statement. But this is a really big point. Oh, and by the way, you can see the website link right there if you want to check it out. The link's also in the show notes. Israel confirmed cases from June 27th to July 3rd, vaccinated versus unvaccinated. This is not Delta or not one thing or the other. This is entire thing. All of their confirmed cases of PCR tests, take with a grain of salt, June 27th to July 3rd. Now just go category to category. Age group 20 to 29. 79% of the cases are vaccinated. 95 of them were vaccinated. 25 were unvaccinated. 30 to 39, 80% vaccinated. 133 were vaccinated. 33 weren't. 40 to 49, 84%, right? You can see it, 84, 88, 89, 93, 92. This is not a one-off, guys. This is across the board and way over. I mean, this is, you know, average way over 80%, if not higher, that everybody across every age group, not even one caveat, every single one of them are higher on the vaccinated side. Look, every single one of them. And predominantly, look at the middle groups, 30 to 69, 133, 33, 175, 33, 127 vaccinated, 18 unvaccinated. These are people that are being told they have COVID-19, and it's across the board vaccinated. Easily 80% of them. And yet we're over here pretending like it's all unvaccinated. This is crazy. There's no way you would have this contrast from country to country unless there was something strange happening. Unless one of them was lying. Think about that. Now, here is what the CDC shows you about their breakthrough cases. And this is the point. As she goes, yeah, it's publicly available. And you're all, it's not really. As they say, it's so hard to find data on breakthrough cases on your site. This is what your data for that looks like. You are intentionally obfuscating, I think they meant to say obfuscating, evidence that proves the COVID-19 vaccines are pushing are ineffective, right? And that, I mean, that's a fair statement. Ineffective is not all-encompassing. It simply means not producing significant or desired effect. So, or means one or the other, not producing the desired effect. If people are getting sick, vaccinated, it is clearly not producing the desired effect. And their only argument is, well, say, that's always expected. Some of them will, acting like it's a one or two people in the corner. That's not what's happening. That is not what's happening. If it's 80%, it's not just a couple of people and we expect that. It's the majority. And they didn't expect that. Or maybe they did. Who knows? It's clearly not what they tell you we are supposed to expect. But here is their data. Breakthrough infections weirdly stopped at April 30th. Why would that be? This is the most updated page. Why would that be? A vaccine breakthrough, and this is the important part. Clearly, they're arguing. And by the way, this is back on April 30th, and this is 10,000 cases of breakthrough cases. That sounds like a little bit more than a couple of fringe rare things. Understand the word rare, by the way. It's not a percentage. That's what they try to make it out to be. Rare just simply means, I mean, just here, just this is just so you guys can see it as well. And this is why I keep telling you guys that words matter, not occurring very often. So if we're looking at 10,000 cases, that doesn't mean we compare it to the total population. 10,000 is not rare. Not occurring very often is not in the same sentence as 10,000. I think we can all be on the same page about that, but they won't say that because they're bending things to fit what they want them to fit. Now, this is an important part. This is something that somebody else shared with me. It was on somebody else's show. They're playing this game with every definition they use and every concept. This, as it says, a vaccine breakthrough infection is defined as the detection of SARS-CoV-2 RNA or antigen in a respiratory specimen collected from a person over 14 days after receipt of all recommended doses of an FDA-authorized COVID vaccine. So you see what that means, right? If you get tested positive on 13 days, well, you don't get counted as a breakthrough case. If you get tested positive on 12 days, you don't get counted as a breakthrough case, despite having both injections. If you get counted after one injection, you don't get counted as a breakthrough case. They are gaming the information. On the other side, you sneeze and have a PCR test and suddenly you're a COVID test. And then you get hit by a car, well, now you're a COVID death, or a COVID case, I should say. And then you get hit by a car and you're a COVID death. We saw this in England and they're openly still stating that. 28 days and a PCR test. So this is a game. You're hiding the full picture. And that's very intentional. Now, it says a total of 10,000 as of April 30th, vaccine breakthrough cases, injection breakthrough case infections had been reported in 46 states. Oh, good. So we don't even have the full picture from all the states. I'm going to go ahead and guess the ones that aren't included are probably pretty bad. And territories as of April 30th. And even then, 160 people died. I wouldn't say 160 deaths is rare, right? All they want you to think is percentage, and that's not what the word rare means. It means it doesn't occur very often. I would say 10,000 is pretty clearly not rare. Now it says the number of reported COVID-19 breakthrough cases is, and this is what I showed you the very first time this came out. This is not being reported. This is what the CDC says. The number of reported COVID-19 breakthrough cases is likely a substantial undercount of all SARS-CoV-2 infections among fully vaccinated persons. Right. A severe undercount. So just like 1% of the other things, we could probably argue it's the same. You know why? Because it's the same point. The national surveillance system relies on passive and voluntary reporting. And we know that people have been scared and fear-mongered into not reporting what they're dealing with because they don't want to be an anti-vaxxer. So this is probably even harder than the other. Now, SARS-CoV-2 sequence data, as it says, are available for only a small portion of the reported cases. And you know why that's important? Well, first of all, on that first point, a substantial undercount. 10,000 is a lot. How about a substantial increase from 10,000? What would that be? Probably not rare. It's not rare now. But let's pretend like because we don't know, that's not true. Because that's what they're doing. We don't know, so fake news, right? Except when you say things you don't know, it's a complete double standard. But this point's important for a reason. SARS-CoV-2 sequence data are available for only a small portion of the reported cases. You know what they need to decipher whether it's a different variant or not? Sequence data, or something more than a PCR test. So if SARS-CoV-2 sequence data are only available for a small portion of cases, how in the world do we know what deltas, what's this and what's that and what the different variants are? I've been asking that for a while, and I've yet to see somebody actually show why. They on one thing, I saw them briefly mention how we added something to the PCR test, and we're figuring out. I don't buy it. But as always, I don't know for sure, and I'm willing to say that because I haven't seen it. But they haven't shown you, which makes me wonder whether it's real at all. And if we haven't seen it, and they're claiming it's there, it doesn't mean it's there. We need to see things. Just because authority figures say something does not mean it's true. I don't know why we have to say that out loud. Beginning May 1st, 2021, the CDC transitioned from monitoring all reported COVID-19 vaccine breakthrough infections to investigating only those among patients who were hospitalized or die. Right. So again, ignoring all the cases that they're seeing that aren't hospitalized or dying. And that means ignoring all the ones that don't report it, ignoring all the ones that die and don't say anything. And all the other cases they're saying are happening that don't. So that means it's way, way higher, including the fact that it's a substantial undercount from the numbers they already gave you. Now compare that to COVID-19. Everything. So you're getting this huge number that's completely overblown on one side that's based on a test with huge false positives. Then you got the other side in the same regard that's in every action they're taking is the diametric opposite. A lower cycle threshold, only reporting some of them, hiding the cases unless they're confirmed officials. This is crazy obvious. FDA, of course, ending with, after all that, FDA authorized COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Oh, really? You just told us that people are getting sick and dying after that, but they're safe and effective, though, because that we're just safe and effective. Just say it. Just repeat it over and over and over. Now here is, of course, come on, CDC, update your information. So here is what they're telling you are the variants, right? Where what we're seeing is this one they're showing right there, B1617.2, is supposed to be Delta. Right. And you can see, as supposedly they're telling you, that this is the one that's beginning to increase and is getting okay. So that's been happening since, whatever. Let's May 22nd, it started 5, 6, 5. We can see it begins to grow, whatever, according to their information, right? Well, let's see what's been happening since May, June forward, according to the deaths, which is what we're actually should be concerned about if we're pretending this thing is super dangerous. Also take note of how many other they already got going on here, right? Anyway, here's the death information. Take note of how I keep showing you that it's just down, 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 down. It is currently lower today than it has ever been since the beginning of this. Now, here is June. Okay, so what's happened since the Delta variant suddenly became more prevalent? An exponential decrease in deaths. Well, I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? Now, I'm not saying I can prove anything because correlation is not causation, and we're honest enough to say that. But I can tell you pretty clearly that you can't scream we're all dying and Delta's killing everybody when it's very clearly not, based on their own data in the United States, right? You could see it right there. There's the date, 6-5. And here we are from June 5th, down, 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 down. Interesting. If this is as bad as they keep telling you it is, you would see an exponential increase, right? If the Delta variant has been present since all the way back in April, according to them, you would continue to see spikes correlating with the dramatic increase in all the cases, right? Show it to me. It started all the way back here in April, right? So how can we see a continued decrease? Because it's not more dangerous, if it's even there at all, guys. I mean, this is just basic, basic stuff. And this is what's so frustrating is all of the data is right in front of you and they keep hiding it from you. They keep wanting you to not see it. I bumped that earlier. They keep lying to you is the moral of the story. Now, going over to the continuation of this, they are continuing to give booster shots in Israel. Right. The third thing that we were still after that we were told this, the two would, you know, save everybody. Right. They're giving you the third, which shows you right now that that is necessary. They're telling you you need another one, just like Moderna told you, just like they keep telling you this is happening. You need a third one because this doesn't last long enough. While you know, based on the NIH, Nature, the WHO, and a lot of others, that you have lasting immunity if you've already had this infection, not the injection, but the natural infection, which, as they keep telling you, is the majority. Even the United States tells you over 160 million people had a natural infection. That's half the country. I mean, this is pretty obvious. But they're going to give it to them, and it's going to keep this going, and it's going to continue the problem. That's what we need to see. This is going to continue. Because they're continuing it. Now, they're telling you in this that tweet we were showing that they're going to give it to the high-risk people first, right? That's what it's all about. We're going to give this shot to the people that need it because they're high-risk. You mean the high-risk people that you already gave it to right in the beginning? Meaning they got the injection way back in the beginning? And wouldn't that suggest that they got this long before the variant problem was coming around? Meaning that this one shouldn't really be a problem if you're, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous. The argument that because somebody over here didn't get injected and this thing mutated in the matter of a couple of days and now suddenly they're no longer protected, it just doesn't make sense when you talk to the experts, the people that will tell you that this, Michael Yeadon, plenty of other doctors, they're telling you that this is not, it's absurd to pretend that these kind of things can mutate this fast in this short period of time. It just doesn't make any sense. Now, again, I ask the question, if this is the case and all the unvaccinated were the ones causing all the problem, well, in 2020, it would have been a heyday. Everybody was unvaccinated. So with this thing circulating, it should have been mutating every 30 seconds, according to where we're seeing the timeline now, from Delta to Epsilon to every next one, right? So where were all the variant problems in 2020? Why did it only kick off during the injection season? It's an honest question. Of course, they'll never ask it. They'll never answer it because they don't care. They don't care. Oops, saw my notes. So here, coming over into the child aspect of this, because this is crazy that we're talking about how obvious this is from the Salk Institute, the spike protein problems, from nanoparticles and how they very clearly, based on their research before this, collect in your organs, specifically your reproductive organs, that they can cause cancer, that they can are very clearly able to integrate with your DNA. Who cares about any of that, though? Because we're only talking about the injection, not the mRNA, not the spike protein, right? They're just kind of playing games with how they explain this stuff. But we are seeing an alarming push to get this in the arms of children that don't need it. Children that they'll tell you aren't at risk, that aren't spreading this asymptomatically, that the asymptomatic spread just seems not to exist. 10 million people, only 300 were found to be asymptomatic, none of them transmissible. A 10 million person study. But we keep pretending like we don't know for sure. We don't know for sure until we do one model with three people and say that it gives what we want it to say. Then it's completely sound, the science is settled. Right? Like it's so subjective. But we see this push and they're driving to get these children injected because they're scared, because they're forgetting that they're supposed to be protecting the children, not the other way around. But as the infectious disease ethics points out, very interesting that the UK College of Pediatrics, which, as far as this person's aware, does not receive large donations from Pfizer, supports not making COVID-19 mRNA injections routine for children. Great. So the UK College of Pediatrics seems to care about children. But as they point out, and thank you for pointing this out, infectious disease ethics here, I am following. Good. The US Academy of Pediatrics wants all children age 12 and above to be vaccinated. Well, you know why that probably makes sense? Well, because they're supported by Pfizer. The AAP catch program is made possible through the generous support of Pfizer. I wonder if that influences their decision-making process. Of course not, because that would be unprofessional. That would never happen, would it? It's so obvious how this is actually playing out. One group that pretends to care about kids is willing to pretend kids should get this dangerous injection because they get money from Pfizer. The other one that doesn't get money from Pfizer is going, this is dangerous for kids and we probably shouldn't give it to them because they care about the data. That's my opinion. Look into it for yourself. And as you all, as those watching are screaming, what a fake news conspiracy theorist, kids should get it because it's completely safe and effective. Well, here's this classically anti-science fake news conspiracy theorist rag known as the Wall Street Journal. The flimsy evidence behind the CDC's push to vaccinate children. As it says, a tremendous number of government and private policies affecting kids are based on one number, 335. That is how many children under 18, and this is according to them, by the way, and I don't even buy this, have died with a COVID diagnosis code in their record. That's even the Wall Street Journal framing it like that, according to the CDC. However, the CDC, which has 21,000 employees, has not researched each death to find out whether COVID caused it or if it was even involved, or excuse me, if it involved a pre-existing medical condition. You know what a big point that is because you've been watching this show. We have been trying to tell people the CDC is not investigating these things. They don't have the resources to do this. There's hundreds of thousands of reports. They are not researching these things, yet they're happily lying to you and saying they are. Then you get the sycophant mainstream and independent media that repeat that blindly and say, these are all debunked and there's no deaths at all. You know who I'm talking about. So when they're telling you from the Wall Street Journal, because it's absolutely a fact, and I've told you this myself, the CDC has not, despite 21,000 employees, researched these deaths to find out whether they were actually COVID or something else. Yet they're happy to continue to tell you that 335 kids died from COVID. This is the Wall Street Journal. Not that that makes it true, but it makes it something that even their side of this argument is supposed to not be ignoring. Because apparently anybody that says this is a fake news anti-science conspiracy theorist. But here we are. It's exactly what we've been telling you and getting censored for. But now it's okay because the Wall Street Journal says it. That's disgusting. Now it says, without this data, the CDC Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices decided in May, without that data, without knowing for sure whether those were even deaths or something else. Remember, we already told you that the hospitalization of kids, according to Newsweek, was over 40% not true. Upwards of 40% of the numbers weren't actually hospitalizations due to COVID. That was Newsweek. So when we're staring at this information and they haven't researched it, we remember that kids go in with a broken leg and they get tested and told they have COVID-19. This is constant. And the deaths are even worse. Kids go in with some bigger problem or kids that are terminal. You know how many kids are in there because they've got cancer or because they can't get a transplant? They started testing everybody ubiquitously and what do you know? A huge portion of them ended up being sick, even though they don't have symptoms. Weird. But then they died later from cancer. Well, that gets marked as a COVID-19 death. We've gone through this. But it's saying, even the Wall Street Journal is telling you that they decided in May, without any due diligence on these kids, that the benefits of the two-dose vaccination outweighed the risks for all kids 12 to 15. Now, this person, Marty Makary, actually, we've talked about them before, but it's a doctor. It says Marty has written hundreds of peer-reviewed medical studies, and that he can think of no journal editor who would accept the claim that 335 deaths resulted from a virus without data to indicate if the virus was incidental or causal and without an analysis of relevant risk factors such as obesity. He's saying that this is no journal anywhere would accept that, except here's the CDC telling you that's enough to inject children. But we're the crazy conspiracy theorists. Isn't that just very, very clear? My research team at Johns Hopkins, so a Johns Hopkins researcher and none other, worked with the nonprofit Fair Health to analyze approximately 48,000 children under 18 diagnosed with COVID in health insurance data from April to August 2020. Their report found a mortality rate of zero among children. Where have you heard that before? Without a pre-existing medical condition such as leukemia. Yeah, obviously, that's my point. So kids that had cancer, they died from cancer. But people who didn't have cancer, they didn't die from COVID, and it's zero. Read this for yourself, guys. This is very clear. The flimsy evidence behind the push. And you know what? It's still going to happen because people are blindly trusting authority. I mean, it's incredible that I'm using mainstream media to bolster my points at a time when we're being called crazy. It's just invert. We're in clown world. I mean, this is the bizarro world that we're in, right? I mean, this is just crazy to me. Now, here is another one that's going to blow your mind. Doom sent this to me today. This is crazy. This is just the beginning of this article. And I, just you guys remember, this is Wall Street Journal, or excuse me, the Washington Post, but they don't let you look at it without paying because they're doing so well. That's what good, you know, solid public service news outlets do, right? They charge you and paywall their information. No, that's what failing outlets do. That's why we don't do that. But even as they steal our money and censor our revenue sources, right? We still don't give you paywalls. But just so you can see, it's the Washington Post. I use this, my thing, to make it look easy and see past their block. But it says, guess what? We are testing too many vaccinated people who lack COVID symptoms. Oh, really? You're testing too many vaccinated people? And that's causing an inaccurate picture of what's really happening? What does that sound like to you? Oh, that's right. It sounds like exactly what we were all saying about the beginning of this, that you're testing too many people with a wide net and you're getting a lot of people that aren't actually sick and it's making this look more dangerous. That's exactly what they're saying right now about the breakthrough cases. And that's why they're going to roll back their testing, only on one side, though. It says it's possible for someone to fight off an infection and still test positive, which skews the case numbers. Oh, you mean like on the other side too? But is that why we're not testing people who had natural? Nope. We're still testing everybody on the other side. Natural infection doesn't matter. We're testing everybody everywhere, except they know that you could still test positive even though you aren't sick, and they don't care. But they only apply that logic on the breakthrough side. You getting the picture? This is ridiculous. It says, First Lady Jill Biden greets guests during a 4th of July event on South Lawn of the White House. The Bidens hosted about 1,000 guests, and they had to test negative for the coronavirus. Now, let me ask you this, guys. Did they wait 7 days afterward? Sure, the hospital sure makes that guy wait 7 days. So they had a test and are shaking Jill's hand. Did they wait 7 days? No, they didn't. Because none of this makes sense. They're shaking your hand, not wearing masks and shoulder to shoulder. So we're going to tell you things that make that make sense, even though we're arresting people for doing that right over here who have tests and vaccines and everything else. Totally adds up, right, guys? Just trust the narrative and shake your head. Now it says, early in the pandemic, the United States had an under-testing problem. That really never happened. Now we are over-testing, I would say, everywhere, except they only go on to say, those who are immune and asymptomatic. Well, wait a minute. They don't mean immune naturally. Of course not. Because if you get into this, they're talking about vaccines, injections. Natural immunity isn't part of the game, despite the fact that, as we keep telling you, the NIH, the WHO, Nature, all of them tell you that it's not, probably 99% of the population have, or if you've had it, have it for the rest of your life. And remember, they're telling you that the majority have already had this. So it's pretty clear what we're talking about. But they're telling you, if we overtest those that have had the injection, well, it's going to create a false narrative about, yeah, exactly. Except it's stupid to pretend like that's not happening on the other side. They know this. It says a person with immunity to the coronavirus will fight off an infection. But during and after the person's exposure to the virus, it's common for a low number of virus particles to be detectable in the nose. Yes, exactly. Except what they're only talking about is people with breakthrough cases. And they're not fighting off the infection because clearly they're spreading it to each other. But let's forget about the facts. It says in medicine, we call this a colonizer, a pathogen that does not cause illness or spread the illness. But it's because it's an incidental finding. But in today's world of routine coronavirus testing of vaccinated people, that's the only part they care about. These positive tests are inflating the numbers of positive cases in a misleading way. Good God, that is so stupid. It's incredible, isn't it? I mean, this is not like it's like pointing back to what happened before. This is still happening. On the other side of this, they are still broadly testing anybody. You go into the hospital, you have to get a test. You go into the doctor's office, you have to get the test. You go into the dentist, you have to get a test. They're testing everybody anywhere all the time. Immune, everything. And the only ones they care about are the vaccinated because they don't want you realizing that what's happening is the vaccinated are getting sick. I don't know how this could be any clearer. Now, going over to the injection part of this, this is something that should blow your mind. Here's the New York Times from 1976. This is, an updated, you can see this is the original right here, but here is the actual information. Swine flu program is halted in 9 states after 3 die. Yeah, that's it. This is in one case 3, but we're talking under 50. And unconfirmed. And what they do? They stop the entire program. Think about how ridiculous this is in contrast to what we're dealing with today. And next, we're going to get into the side effects. October 12th, 1976, swine flu vaccination programs in 9 states and in Pittsburgh and its suburbs were suspended today, 2 weeks after they began nationally after the deaths of 3 elderly persons who received the vaccine yesterday at a clinic in Pittsburgh. Now, we've already seen examples of multiple people in the same location, in fact, in the same hospital unit, dying. We talked about the lady who reported this. We talked about the person who reported this to the British Medical Journal. They wrote in and said, guys, I have half my staff out with severe illness. Multiple people have died. I don't know how this is even okay. And they retracted, pulled away. You can't see it. This is happening all over the place today. Now it says federal and Pennsylvania health on Siles said, I'm not sure what that was. I don't know if that's maybe that's a typo because of the transit. Who knows? But it says said there was no evidence. The government told you there was no evidence that deaths had resulted from the vaccinations. Sound familiar? Here we are. The same point. So they're even back then saying there's no evidence, but yet they still stop the program anyway. How does that make sense? It says, but they also said that the highly unusual circumstances of the 3 fatalities among the patients in one clinic such a short time required investigation. Yeah, it's happening all over the place. How about the, I could go off forever about the examples. It says all 3 patients, by the way, were also known to have had heart disease, health officials said. So they not only have comorbidities, they also weren't sure, and yet they still stopped the program. And autopsy showed that 2 died of heart attacks. That also sounds weirdly familiar, doesn't it? Now, could they have died from other things? Clearly, they're saying that we don't know for sure. Even then, they didn't know for sure. And even then, they had comorbidities. And even then, they stopped the entire program. No evidence the shots caused them. And they stopped the entire program. But not today. Today, we can see a lot happening. And they're trudging forward. Here's Disclose TV pointing out the CDC today added, this is 13 hours ago, added 6,000 new death reports to the VAERS following COVID-19 vaccinations in the U.S., which they did. This is more than double last week's total figure. Okay, here is the page. I think I have it right there. Okay, this is important because this is what the Disclose TV shares. And you can see quite clearly that it says 12,313 reports of death up to July 19th. Okay, interesting, right? And it goes on to say, VAERS numbers are updated weekly. The CDC has not yet commented on this and whether the high jump compared to previous weeks is due to a backlog or actual reported cases last week. Either way, it's scary. It means they're either hiding the data or it's happening very fast. Now, here's what happened. And I want you to do your own due diligence on this. Find out what's going on. I went over to look at it and I was really confused. I got the link they shared and everything. And I pop over here and I go, okay. So first of all, selected adverse events, which is kind of funny to me. The ones we want you to see, they're right in their title, right? That's ridiculous. Of course, they're in bold, safe and effective, right? We didn't come here for you to repeat the talking points. We want to know about adverse events. They're very safe and effective. That's their first time. They're safe and effective. They keep everything you look at. The first 3 paragraphs will be about how everything was tested perfectly. And we're all saying it's because they are battering you with their narrative. This, by the way, is what I showed you last time. They're lying to you and saying COVID vaccines are under the most intense safety monitoring in U.S. history. False. Sure, they've been researching these kind of technologies for decades or a decade, but the safety research went on for months. We've had hot trials in the past that went on for years. This is a ridiculous lie. They know that. They don't care. Reports of the adverse events to VAERS following vaccination include deaths do not necessarily mean that the vaccine caused a health problem. Yep, exactly. So we don't know for sure, but we also know, and here's another way to frame that sentence. Reports of adverse events to VAERS following vaccination, including deaths, could mean the vaccine caused a health problem. You see how that works? You could argue it doesn't mean the vaccine caused it. It also could say that it could mean the vaccine caused it, but they only play it one way. Now, here's the point. Here's what it says, and this is what they just shared, reports of deaths, but then it says December 14th through July 13th. Okay. I was like, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. I just looked at this and it says 6,079 reports. So weirdly back to where it was before. Okay, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I got the wrong link. Maybe they shared the wrong link, even though it does say July 19th. Okay, well, you know, the first thing that I did, Wayback Machine. I went to the Wayback Machine from today, from this morning. Gotcha, CDC. This is from this morning. As you can see, July 21st from this morning. Guess what it says? December 14th, 2020 through July 19th. Well, that's strange. During this time, VAERS received 12,313 reports of death among people who received a COVID vaccine. Okay. Anybody you care? You mean this is, there's no misunderstanding this. This morning, it said 12,313. Today, right now, and I'll refresh it after this, it says 6,079. It's right there in front of you. So whether they quietly decided they didn't want you to see it yet, or whether they just removed it entirely and pretended it wasn't there, there's no comment. It doesn't say we changed it and then changed it back. There's no asterisk. They're changing this in real time and adding things, removing them, and they even pulled the date back to the 13th. I find that to be pretty ridiculous. There's the, I just refreshed it. 6,207. Did it say something different just a second ago? Was it less than that? I can't remember. I thought maybe it was, but in any case, that'd be interesting if you remember. If it was less just now, that means they've added to it after the fact, and it's still not 12. But in any case, the point is, to this morning, it said 12,313. Disclose was right. They did, and they caught it, and then removed it to here. Does this make you feel like they care about the information, that they want to keep the information flowing, that they're trying to inform you about the real? No, it doesn't. This is editing history in real time. This is lying to you with information as often as possible. Now, we'll see if it comes back. We'll see if suddenly it adds again later tomorrow or however they do this. But, oh, wait a minute. It did change. Yeah, I'm so glad we just caught this on real time. Check this out. It just said July 13th. It just said July 13th on this page. Now it says July 19th. Look at that. It says July 19th. They changed this. Since I started this show, they changed it back to July 19th, and it still says 6,207. Except here it was this morning, where it also says July 19th, and it says 12,313. And the reality is that, yes, Disclose caught it too, and that's why they reported it. Think about that. Gosh, I wish I would have just refreshed the opened the new page, because that would have caught it. I can't go back. Dang it. Well, it's on real time. My video's up, and you could see it. Scroll back. It said July 13th. I can't believe how obvious this is, guys. They're literally rewriting information in real time after they post it because somebody didn't like what it said. Wow. Well, I'm glad we caught that. Here's the update, or here's the Wayback Machine from this morning. Please share it. Obviously, Star, this is going to be a clip. This is going to be an important one. Wow. Well, here's what's continuing to happen. Teen suffers heart attack day after Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine jab. We can't prove for sure. We don't know for sure. It's unverified. VAERS has been verified. But three deaths in one location, and we stopped something years back. Here we are watching kids die the same day they get it. Well, we don't know for sure. Kids could have died like that. Who knows? Constant. Here's another one in the interest of time. 5,522 people have died within 28 days of having a COVID vaccine in Scotland, according to Public Health Scotland. All the data's here. I was going to go through this, but I'm going to try to wrap this up for different reasons. All of it's here. And I'm actually coming to quite like the Daily Exposé. As I've been saying from the very beginning, everything I've seen them put forward, they always seem to source and cite the documents. Anybody that does that, you should be at least watch, read. Because ultimately, even if they give you something that you don't agree with, they still have the source material, right? And good for them. Kudos. I mean, that's what real people, the honest people do. And they give it every time. Now, anyway, the point is, you can see it says a total of 5,522 people die within 28 days of receiving an injection in Scotland. Okay. Research it for yourself. This is all over the place and nobody wants you to see this. Here's the actual data, Public Health Scotland, COVID statistical information. And here's that. This is what I love. They include this. This is the email exchanges where they actually give you the data and the breakdowns. Like, this is important stuff. Media won't tell you. Here's James Lyons-Weiler. Country after country provides tests after test of showing you pathogenic priming. It keeps happening and they keep hiding it from you. Here's the study he references. This is from July 5th, 2021. Guess what it says? A new group at increased risk of SARS-CoV-2 infection emerges. The recently vaccinated. Well, I wonder why they skipped that one on Fox and CNN, right? Why? I mean, I bet you Tucker will talk about this after it's okay to talk about, after we get it out there, get censored for it, and then he'll float it out a week later. But here we are. It says, in the days following the start of the vaccination campaign, a new development became evident. Several of the recently vaccinated healthcare workers developed symptoms of COVID-19. And it's recently vaccinated, understand. And an infection with SARS-CoV-2 was confirmed by PCR tests. So not just that they had symptoms, but they got infected. So that's recent. So were they crossing over to each other, or is the spike protein causing the disease that they're then spreading? It's a real question. Of the 1,306 healthcare workers who had received the first dose of the vaccine by January 18, 2021, 7 healthcare workers tested positive. A symptomatic infection was confirmed on day 2, 4, 7, 11, 16, 17, and 19 after receiving the first dose, respectively. The recently vaccinated made up to 35% of the total number of 20 employees of the university hospital tested positive in that time period, meaning the recently vaccinated overrepresented among those with a symptomatic infection, meaning, you know what I'm going to say, it's statistically significant. That was what matters in science. This is not what's supposed to be happening, meaning it's not working. Now, of course, this goes on to make these resounding argument for why none of this matters and we should all get vaccinated. And everything from there is all subjective opinion, right? Likely an explanation for the high rate, right? I don't care about what you likely think is something. I care about data. Everything after this point is subjective about what they think might happen and why vaccines are good regardless. Just look at the data. Overrepresented among those with symptomatics. It's very real. This pathogen priming concept or the antibody-dependent enhancement, molecular mimicry, all these things are being seen in real time. She says, my friend called me yesterday to say her sister went for the second jab. Immediately after it was administered, she said she couldn't feel her arms, started convulsing, and paramedics had to be called. She's really slim, healthy, in her early 50s. Now, I haven't confirmed this point, but we just pointed to some that are completely confirmed that's saying the exact same thing. So the reason I'm pointing this out is because this person says it. Now, we don't know it's for sure, but here's what people will do. Me too. I died when I got mine. Stop spreading these lies. How in the world are you? So this person, I'm just me, has already made her mind up that this is not possible. So if someone's saying it, then she's lying and a conspiracy theorist. These are the most lost among us. She is completely, if authority says it, it's real. That's like your people from before saying, well, if it's in the newspaper, it must be real. That's the current part of that today. That's disgusting and it's childish. You are hurting people by continuing to keep the narrative going. The point is that it is happening very, very clearly. There's hundreds of thousands of reports and she just doesn't care because all she does is watch CNN or Fox News and mindlessly goes along with the narrative. But here is what's happening to people. The saddest part for me, guys, is that these people are struggling through so much. I mean, just on a dime, your life changes tomorrow. And people tell them they're crazy, that it's all in her head. It's important that people continue to speak out about what they're dealing with because it's happening. Now, I don't care if it's 1%. I don't care if it's one person. It is entirely unacceptable to tell these people that it must be in your head because I'm listening to what my authority tells me. It's disgusting to me. Now, here's RFK Jr. pointing out, immunologist and former NIH scientist J. Bart Klassen analyzed data on COVID vaccine adverse events. It's his opinion, but he's an expert and former NIH scientist. And he's reporting the events reported to the UK's yellow card system, so it's like theirs, and found thousands of reports of multiple symptoms that are clear signals of neurodegenerative disorders. Now, here's the actual article. You can read it for yourself. Within the nervous disorders category, Parkinson's disease reactions display a highly significant and specific increase. So does that sound like significant, specific? Well, that's right. It sounds like the informed consent study that showed you that there was a specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. That's a hugely important sentence. Now, it says in AstraZeneca reports compared to Pfizer reports, and it says statistically significant findings include 185 reports of Parkinson's, 9,288 versus 937 reports of tremors, 458 versus 4 reports of sleep disturbances, describing these findings as a clear signal of a specific prion disease, Parkinson's disease. He notes the findings are biologically plausible because they are consistent with what is known about the pathogenic coronavirus spike protein. In addition, the standout symptoms of freezing, tremor, and sleep disturbances match up to the well-accepted pathophysiology of prion disease. And yep, it's always been there because the peer-reviewed research that came out back on, when was it, 2020? Yeah, December 2020, that said that COVID-19 RNA-based vaccines and the risk of prion disease is very clear and real. And they literally list off they talk about Alzheimer's disease, degeneration, exactly what they're talking about, neurological degenerative diseases. But trust the science, right? No, ignore the science. Trust the narrative is what they're really telling you, because there are experts all over the place screaming that this is a problem. They don't care. Now here, HPV vaccine side effects shared this, that Ken Rutgers C19 vax reactions says, we are a large and ever-growing group of Americans who are previously healthy and have been seriously injured by COVID-19 vaccines. Here's the app. Thank you for sharing this HPV vaccine side effects. Here's the website. Please look at this. We've seen these compilation videos shared by that Angela Nashville, I think, put together, or she shared, doing great work, keeping that going and showing you there's a lot of people just saying, I had Moderna and I need to be heard. On and on and on, hundreds and thousands of them. This site says, our negative reactions need positive actions. Who we are. We are a large and ever-growing group of Americans who were previously healthy and have been seriously, not just kind of, but seriously injured by the COVID vaccines. Any of them. Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, AstraZeneca. And it says, we are pro-vaccine, pro-science, pro, I'm not saying me, this is what they're saying, pro-vaccine, pro-science, and we're excited for the opportunity to be vaccinated and to do our part in helping the end the pandemic. And it says they were. It says, we are completely independent of any other organization. The reason they're including that, guys, is because they were snowed. Or maybe they still believe it. At the end of the day, it doesn't change the fact that they're very seriously injured and they want help. And the government that told them it was safe, that tricked them into thinking that, doesn't care about them. Makes me sick. Look at the kids we just told you about, the kids that aren't being investigated, the dead children that the CDC with their 21,000 employees are not investigating, according to the Wall Street Journal, right? That they're telling you this, that they're not, they hasn't researched each death to find out whether COVID caused it or not. Yet they're using that to scare people into getting injected anyway. This is where we are. Now, I want to talk about this clip here about what went back and forth. And I'm thinking, let's see here. Yeah, I'm going to jump into this right now, and I'm just going to go through this reasonably quick. But here's what happened. This is what happened today or yesterday between Fauci and Rand Paul. Now, why this is interesting is not because I believe that this is exposing the entire narrative. I think this is a two-party pocketed narrative that's being played out in front of us. But it does reveal that Fauci is very clearly lying. By the way, exactly what we've been saying from the very beginning and being censored for, that this gain of function research has been ongoing, that the bioweapon program has always been there, that this stuff is nonstop. And the fact that this has been happening from the very beginning during Trump's administration, during Obama's administration. And that's, and by the way, that's, he talks about 2017. This is during Trump's administration. This is not just Anthony Fauci. This goes to Collins. This goes to the White House. Now, sure, Fauci and NIH do things without complete say so from everybody above them, but everybody's aware of what's going down, guys. And it's a bigger, especially multi-lab experiments from multi-types of experiments working with different groups from North Carolina, the Eco Alliance. This is not just Fauci and Wuhan. That's what they're trying to make this seem like. And there's a reason for that, guys. But let's watch this, and I want you to see how clearly he is lying to you.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a 5-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated...
And by the way, on that note, remember that Clapper lied in front of Congress about the NSA spying. Nothing ever happened to him, because it rarely does.
That the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci.
Which, by the way, we've already talked about on this show. We've talked about all this stuff long before it was acceptable. It's the study right here. You can look at it. You can read it again. We've talked about it in the past, about what this shows you, about gain of function, about how everybody was involved. I mean, on and on and on, right? So it's just, again, repeatedly frustrating that we're being censored for things that are in real time being discussed in Congress. You know, it shows you that we're that far ahead of this information. And that's not just TLAV. There's a lot of people out there that have been talking about this long before. James Corbett, plenty of them. James Evan Pilato, a lot of them.
In this paper, Dr. Shi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took two bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combine genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans.
And we've been talking about this for a long time, well before COVID, about the concept that they're lying to you about the need to make that kind of thing happen. And it's very easy to think about. The logic of pretending that you can alter a virus in a lab that doesn't exist anywhere else and then make a vaccine for that thing you made as if that can somehow be stored for the future to protect you. The only situation in which that would be needed to protect you, or two situations, would be if it leaked out of the lab or it was let out of the lab as a weapon. So there's no logical reason to think that somebody across the world, one of these evil actors, is going to somehow just coincidentally make the same changes to the same thing in the same way that can hurt the same people independently and just coincidentally. And guess what? We happen to have a vaccine for it. That's not what we're talking. That's what they're pretending. This is all vaccine protection. No, they're making bioweapons and they're making vaccines for those bioweapons. That's what this is. Dr. Boyle will tell you that, the drafter of the Biowarfare Act, and everybody else who's being honest with you. And now it's coming out in real time.
This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017.
Exactly like we told you, right? That they pretended they paused it, and all they did was outsource it to Wuhan. Your government did this, not Fauci, not Obama or Trump, but your government did this. And they outsourced it after pretending they stopped the thing they said was bad because they wanted to hide what they were doing.
A pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab, not in nature. This research matches," these are Dr. Ebright's words, "this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause." Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
Now, before he answers, take note of his demeanor. Now, you could argue if he was being lied about that he'd be upset, but this is clearly not being lied about. This is exactly what it says. It's exactly what the science says and exactly what Wuhan said they were doing, and that funding did come from the NIH. None of this is false. You can look it up for yourself. So watch the way he responds and how frustrated and angry he is, and then watch how he shifts into ad hominems, which is what he tends to do.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress.
Microphone down.
Your microphone.
Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function.
Now, right there, before we even get into what Paul says, just because people who looked at it within their circle said, yeah, we all collectively agree this gain-of-function research is this time not gain-of-function. Oh, good, so we can keep doing it. It's arbitrary. It is if this is gaining function to do things that it couldn't have done before and meets the exact definition, right? So it's just subjective. And the point I'm showing that to you right now is that's what's happening everywhere. Just because authority figures collectively decide this thing, it's like saying this is, you know, what's the term they use? That they haven't really proved something, but the, you know, established scientific community collectively agrees on certain things. That doesn't mean it's the truth. We've seen it's continually not the truth. So the point is that they can do that. They can lie about that. They can also be wrong. But I think today we're seeing a lot of collective dishonesty, intentional so.
Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and
being gain of function.
You take an animal virus and you increase its transmissibility to humans, right. You're saying that's not gain of function?
Yeah, that is correct. And wow. Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about, quite frankly.
Ad hominem.
I want to say that officially. You do not know what you are talking about.
If he wanted to disprove what it said, he could simply go into the exacts. Why did you collectively agree it wasn't gain of function and explain exactly why it's different from what gain of function is? That would be an honest answer if you knew you weren't guilty. But to simply jump over and be like, you're dumb and you don't know. That's what you do when you're defensive because I think this is my opinion, because you're guilty. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, he is, because he's lying, because it's very, very, very clear. Look at the information for yourself.
So let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote.
His own definition.
It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals and they increased their transmissibility to humans.
Yep.
How you can say that is not gain of function?
It is not.
It's a dance, wow. And you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
Now there, see, I disagree with that. Right. And this is numbers that Rand Paul has himself pointed out the fallacies of the PCR test. So yet we're still pointing to that number as this is why there's some of this is important to point out, but this doesn't therefore prove that the lab leak theory is exactly correct. I think that's an insulting reduction, a simplification of what's really going on. But nonetheless, what he's saying there is it's an example of, for instance, like the, you know, it's a minor differentiation. We talked about, for instance, the idea of the spike protein, other things integrating with your DNA, or specifically saying that the injection can alter your DNA, right? And they had this huge debunking moment where they said, no, it can't. And here's the definition. Okay. So it's semantics, right? We've already shown you since then that the nanoparticles, the spike protein, all these things clearly can integrate with your DNA, but because they claim it doesn't last forever, which is totally subjective and seemingly proven out to be not true, that they claim it doesn't alter because it doesn't stay forever. But it does kind of for a minute, but we pretend that because it doesn't stay there forever, we can't define it as altering your DNA. This is the way they play this game. Clearly, that's not true. And clearly, Fauci's lying, but it's not gain of function because this one little thing in there is different, so it's not. But you're nonetheless, whether you want to call it that or not, adding dangerous characteristics to a virus that doesn't otherwise have them in order for it to infect people that couldn't otherwise infect. I don't care what you want to call that. That is mad scientist stuff. And they are doing that. And Fauci was involved, but so was the president. So was the White House. So was the NIH. They were all involved. EcoHealth Alliance, Wuhan Lab, Chinese government. Guys, this is very obvious if you stand back from and don't let the two-party illusion influence your opinion. Now, just I'm going to run through this quick. You can see here. Bottom line is he says, let's see if you can hear it.
Your belief based on the evidence, Senator, that he lied before Congress and broke the law?
Yes, and I will be sending a letter to the Department of Justice asking for a criminal referral because he has lied to Congress.
Basically just Rand Paul saying he's going to ask for a criminal referral. Sending a letter to the Department of Justice. We'll see what happens. Interesting. Now, finally, sad news in a way, but I don't know if it's going to stand. Judge upholds COVID-19 vaccine mandate. In victory, framing it, victory for Indiana University. Says the Indiana University students must comply with the school's COVID-19 vaccine mandate for the fall semester after a federal judge refused on Monday to block the school's inoculation requirement, one of the first rulings of its kind in the pandemic. So this judge is violating his oath to the Constitution. His only job to uphold the Constitution doesn't care because politics, right? U.S. District Judge Damon Lechte in South Bend, who doesn't understand his job, rejected the argument by 8 students that the school violated their bodily autonomy and constitutional right to due process. Now, you know why he argues that? Because if it was forced and they could had to take it or they were kicked out, maybe he would argue different. But because he's playing this game where they're not being forced because they have other choices, this has been their go-to. We're not forcing you, but you literally can't do anything anywhere without this thing. But go ahead and live your life however you want. It's stupid. He says, this university policy isn't forced vaccination. The students have options. Oh, what are those options? One of them is taking the vaccine injection. Applying for religious exemption, which we've already gone over, is very clearly wildly impossible to get. And half of these people already said that that's not going to apply. Applying for a medical exemption, which again, they will not give you if your medical exemption or even your religious exemption is just because I don't want it. You don't have that option. So in this, and by the way, these things go in front of a panel, which clearly already believe that you need this thing because that's why they're forcing it on you. And they're going to lean that way anyway, or a medical deferral or taking a semester off, right? Just, you know, just taking off a semester of what I already paid for, right? Like we all just have that casual, that luxury of, or attending another university. Yeah, I'll just go to another school. No big deal. This guy's an idiot. It says today's ruling does not end the students' fight. Oh, this is the students. We plan to immediately appeal the judge's decision, which hopefully, if it is any judge out there that understands his job or her job, will stand for their rights internationally, international law, or locally or domestically. Now, finally, on some coercion points, this is so ridiculous. Remember when the NFL and the cannabis thing was such a big deal because it's such a crime and it's all dangerous and it leads to all these dangerous things. Oh, you're going to get your, you know, Alex Bernstein will still tell you it causes schizophrenia because he has no idea what he's talking about in regard to cannabis. The point is they're willing to go, oh yeah, that totally dangerous thing that we were gung-ho about stopping. Well, we'll go ahead and let that slide as long as you get this injection. That's what's happening. To maximize player vaccination rates, the Pro Football Talk is saying NFL and NFLPA should extend a simple offer. Get the injection and we won't care about marijuana anymore. So that either shows you that marijuana never really mattered and they're just willing to use it as a tool, or now they care that much more about getting this into your arm that they're willing to ignore something they just told you was very, very dangerous. Do you realize how dumb that is? It's vaccination at all costs. I keep showing you this. Here's another one. Governor Mike Parson will make an announcement about the vaccine incentive program for the state and introduce a new state health director. I bet the other one didn't care about forcing injections, or didn't care too. Parson encourages all Missourians to get vaccinated against COVID-19, despite the fact that half of them are probably have natural immunity. Half of them probably don't. They just clearly don't need it based on their age. Vaccines are free and available across the state. 47% of them have received their first dose, which means the vast majority are unvaccinated, just like we keep telling you. The state is offering vaccinated Missouri residents the opportunity to win $10,000 every 2 weeks. That's crazy. So we're gonna have indefinite drawings of money forever just to keep you on the vaccine train? Pretty clearly. Now, how about you, like we told you before, you now refuse your booster dose. Well, you already got both of them. You already went along with it. But the moment you refuse the booster dose, you're now an anti-vaxxer. Isn't that funny? Clearly, that's stupid. And I hope we all see that. Now, finally, the very company that is now pushing this on you based on their own claims about things that they did and their own safety tests, right? Pfizer is currently recalling an anti-smoking drug. Why? Because it causes cancer. It's July 21st. Now, they tested that drug. They said it was safe and effective. The FDA said, you're good to go. And now it's causing cancer. How could that possibly happen? The FDA did their job. The Pfizer said it was safe and effective. They said it was safe and effective. They said it was safe and effective. And here we are causing cancer. That's not possible. Must be fake news. This must be an anti-science fringe conspiracy theory, right? Or it's very clear that Pfizer lies about this stuff all the time. Their Pfizer tracker showing you that over $4.6 billion they've paid out since 2000, 71 different crimes they've committed involving health-related offenses, government contracting offenses, lying about contracts, manipulating, you know, lying about what they're going to be doing regarding safety thing, safety-related offenses, lying about safety adverse events, competition, right? Off-label, unapproved promotion, like selling things that don't actually do what they say, False Claims Act, hiding safety. Like this is about hiding adverse events, lying about what they do. Look at how much money they've paid out for lying, putting people's lives at risk. And we're staring at one right now. Safe and effective. The FDA said we're good because Pfizer said, oh, here we are causing cancer. But let's pretend like that can't happen here because Pfizer said it was safe and the FDA emergency authorized it, right? We're good. Just ridiculous. And just so we can wrap it up here, determination of regulatory review period for purposes of patent extension of what? monkeypox vaccine. Oh, good times. So we have things we haven't approved that are already causing problems, and we have monkeypox causing like three cases that aren't really dangerous, but we're already working on a vaccine for it though, mRNA and all. So don't worry. This will be coming around soon enough. Do you wonder what's happening? I mean, do we even know what's actually going on behind the scenes? Most of us don't. And finally, as James Lyons Weiler points out, the high cost of freedom is you might be exposed to someone else's opinion or facts that counter the official narrative. If you don't like seeing other people's opinions or independently sourced facts, then why are you even on social media? Facts don't kill people, lies do. Exactly. Well put. Well, we're going to leave it there, guys. Thank you for joining us today. It's just never an end, is there? There's constant flows of information. And the whole point is that you keep at it, that you keep coming to the show, you keep sharing the data, you keep making your own shows, right? Keep this going. We can't even relent because they're not going to stop, right? Well, I think that was the comment from Bob Marley, right? That saying, you know, that asking him why he was going to continue to put on a concert when he was dealing with medical problems. And he said, well, you know, the people trying to make the world a worse place aren't taking a day off. So I can't either, or paraphrasing, something like that. And you know, that's the truth. They are relentlessly trying to make this happen. So we need to relentlessly try to stop it. Thank you for being here. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Struggle, sweet babe. Make you listen, make clear. See the struggles we've been. Nobody don't care. I'm stuck in my house.
No kind of fear.
What the hell are you doing to this woman?
Turn on my TV, everybody is fighting, they're fighting. Can't you see that they're fighting, they're fighting us? They're afraid of the whole of us, soul of us. Can't you see that they're fighting, they're fighting us? Cause they don't wanna see us living together. They prefer seeing us canceling each other. They wanna see us die, don't wanna see us die. Fear-mongering that is trending. 1984, them defending. Global reset, a new life pending. Better wake up and stop from sleeping. Remember the FEMA camp is their way. You know what I take them indoctrination. No re-education, no depopulation.
Everything I've seen in the last 9 days, all the things that just don't make sense, the patients I'm seeing in front of me, the lungs I'm trying to improve, have led me to believe that COVID-19 is not this disease, and that we are operating under a medical paradigm that is untrue.
It's time to unite, get up and fight. Oh, it's time to unite.
Where's the grave concern if you're going to be injected with these same proteins? Not a single, to my knowledge, not a single vaccine manufacturer took heed of my warning to remove those unsafe epitopes from the vaccines before they formulated their vaccines, in spite of being emailed.
Wait a minute, don't take her away! Hey! Don't take her away! You bastard! You absolute bastard!
Nobody.
If you stand for nothing, you fall for everything.
It's the message.